well wishes there. But that's not what we're here for this morning, is it? We're here to praise the Lord. And we have such a gracious Lord. God looks down upon us, He loves us, and He watches over us. And yes, it may be difficult at times, but He'll see us through. One thing I would like to add into this is if there should be any men, that'd be a little bit more, let me know. Otherwise, I'll be here. Lord willing. As always, I ask you, I actually beg you to please open your Bibles and follow along with me this morning. Because then and only then will you know that the truth is being taught. And as we look into God's Word this morning, sincerely look into it. And compare your life with that Word. And see where you stand this very hour, this very moment in time, in your relationship with the Almighty. You know, we all understand the importance as when you're beginning to build a structure. It might be a skyscraper, might be your home abode, you know. And we typically have plans we refer to, look at how we're going to build the structure and make it strong. We'll make sure we're going to follow all the standards and codes for proper building practices and use the right tools and all of that. We all understand that, don't we? I mean, we spend a lot of money just going through that part of it, don't we? Well, this morning, I'm going to talk about something that Brother Coy had brought up about two and a half weeks ago on a Wednesday evening as we quickly studied that of faith. And this morning, we're going to be talking about building hope that lasts. Faith and hope is pretty much synonymous, but anyway, they're very much tied together. But building a hope that will last. Now, I don't know about you, if you look at my old truck, it's an old 7 Dodge, and it began to rust and fall apart. As a matter of fact, I did have to have it towed a couple weeks ago, and you know, things just don't last. I look at my old bodies when I get ready to bend down and knees to push old buttons on Diane's new recliner she got. You know, these old knees I'm going to move back up quite as well, you know. And we want our hope and our faith to last. That is so important. You know, I can't think of anything much sadder to see those that have at one time obeyed the gospel. Those that had taken a part in worshiping and leading and things of that nature in the Lord's body, but then they end up growing weak and they fall away. A very influential, dear friend of mine, a preacher. I mean, he was the most influential person I've had other than my father-in-law's. We need to build our hope. Is very powerful. We all understand that. That's kind of what gets us up and gets us motivated, isn't it? And without hope, what's the point, John? You know, I just stay in bed all day, you know, of course. And hope gives us strength for our Christian journey. Because, let's face it, if you don't have any hope, so what? What's life for? What's it all about? Why try? Right? Will motivate us through this journey in this low and sinful land that we have here. So, God wants us to abound in hope. I'm going to start with this verse and I'll finish with this verse in Romans 15 and verse 13. Now, the God of hope. What's he a God of? He is a God of hope. He's given each and every one of us hope. Fill you with all joy and peace. Now, those are two words that I dearly love. I like to be happy and like to have joy in my life, and I dearly love to have the peace that comes along with that. But he is a God full of hope with joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. He wants us to have a hope. He wants us to not just have hope, but to abound in it. Through the power of who? Through the power of the Holy Ghost, as the old King James say. I'd rather say the Holy Spirit. It's through His Spirit that we can have our hope solidified in. So, rather than hope, some Christians like to engage in just wishful thinking. You know, Don, I've always tried to be a good guy. I'm living a decent life and all that. I'm God's God of love, you know. What do I have to worry about? There's a great many out there that have that wishful thinking that everything's going to be okay. Also, it is impossible to know for sure that you are going to heaven. It is possible. We should have our hearts solidified in the very hope that we will be going to heaven. We have to know that strongly within our hearts. We must have a real, a lasting hope. Because, you know, and so building our hope. We all know when you're building a structure, you want a good, solid foundation, right? You don't go out and build that foundation on that bedrock, on some solid firm earth, or you're going to build it on a sand pile. I don't think anybody's going to build their house just on a sand pile. There's a great many that do that in their lives today. The bedrock of truth is what our house, what our hope and everything hinges upon. And of course we know the truth is God's word. As we see there in Hebrews 2 and verses 3 and 4. The Hebrew writer says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now you don't want to neglect that. Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Yes, we can be assured based upon the pure evidence that we have in our hands today, God's word, and based upon the documentation of those witnesses that saw all the miracles and saw all the healings and witnessed God in action. Also, we look in John 20. John 20, verses 30 and 31. We're told there, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, far beyond what's even been recorded in the Bible we have today, which are not even written in this book. But these are written, notice why this is important, why this Bible is so critical. These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that's true God. And that believing that ye might have life through his name. Important. That should be our bedrock. Also, we look in 2 Corinthians 12 and 12. We see there, being recorded by Paul, he says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you, as he's talking about those there at Corinth, in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Again, we see down through time, down through the ages, especially at the time of Christ, that we see all these miracles and things that witness to the very fact that God loves us, that he cares for us, and he wants us to love him. He wants us to have hope in him and to have faith in him, to what his words and teachings have been left with us here. We also see in Mark 16 and verse 20, and as they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Yes, there should be no doubt. No doubt. Just open your eyes and look around. We've got heat in here this morning. We're blessed. We got lights so we can see and read God's word and so forth and study it. Our bedrock has to be. As we see in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, this is oftentimes quoted. All scriptures is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, knowing that it's God's word has given us. It is inspired from God. It's not some or whatever. This is the word of God. Also, we see in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, our faith should be built according to his divine power hath given unto us all things. Not just part of it, but all things that pertain unto life and godliness, knowing who he is, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Yes, we have faith, found in Romans 10 and verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Our faith is established there. And last but not least, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 21, we're told, in order to have faith, in order to have hope, we must prove all things, hold fast that which is good, in that truth, in that word. So, from faith, then, we begin to build from there. As we look on Jesus, James 2 and verse 17 tells us, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Well, look at all the good deeds. Did you do those deeds for the Lord? Did you do those deeds to give honor and glory unto him? You see then, that how by works man is justified, and not by faith only. There's a lot of people out there that believe, oh, faith only. Once saved, always saved. I expressed my faith through this time back in 1944 or whenever it was, and that's all I need to do. But if you haven't done any works, it is good for nothing. Good for nothing. For as a body without the spirit is dead. And it's very obvious if you've ever witnessed the passing of a person. And I have. I witnessed my father passing before my eyes. And as soon as he drew his last breath, as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. That's the whole point behind these pillars in this building we're establishing here, of having this hope throughout all eternity. We must have faith in these truths. And as we're told in Romans 2 and verse 6, it says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Yes, we've all heard it said on that judgment day. Little harsh word, quick, that God and that day done, be it good or be it bad. So from that, if we have a firm faith, holding fast to the truth in God's word, as we read earlier, that's where we will have joy. We look around today in our society and it's sad to see those that are filled with anger and bitterness and discontent and disgruntled. It's a shame. God doesn't want that. He wants us to have joy and peace. But joy, as we consider Romans 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope, that's what I started out with, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may what? That you may abound in hope. Again, we must have that hope, that faith in him, to keep our We also see in Philippians 1 and verse 25, and having this confidence, Paul tells those at Philippi, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance. And we also have joy in James 1. James 1, verses 2 through 4. James records for us there, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Wait a minute now. Did the cracker or cheese fall off his cracker? Count it joy going through all these trials and tribulations? Woe is me, look. Count it joy when you fall into those divers temptations, knowing that you have an Almighty on your side. Knowing this, that what? That the trying of your faith worketh patience. We've become a society that we want things now. Right? You know, I miss the fast food we used to have. You used to be able to go through right through the drive-thru, wouldn't you? That was nice. But now I gotta wait. But, you know, we should be a patient people. God wants us to be patient. Because if you're not patient, pretty soon you're gonna give up and give up on your hope, won't you? Your faith is going to falter. But anyway, you work with patience. But let patience have her perfect work. He is at work. He's molding you as a potter molds a pot, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now wait a minute. I find that hard to believe, wanting nothing. We're a very physical society, aren't we? And we have a lot of things we all want. Right? We've all been guilty of wanting something. Those things are not going to be. Also in James 1, verses 22 through 25. Again, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. I don't know how many times throughout God's word to go about do what he says. Not just hear it only, not only have it preached to you only, you do it. You take on those commands and you follow them and you have faith in them that you know that one day over yonder, I'll be there. Anyway, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if ye be a hearer of the word and not a doer, telling us right plain here, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth the manner of man he was. You know, you forget all that, who you were. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, in other words, the truth, God's word, and what? And continueth in them, or therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of that work, knowing that if we keep on keeping on, that we will be rewarded for that. So, this is where, as we're told there in 1 John 3 and verse 24, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. In other words, you dwell with the Lord. You dwell in the Lord when you're keeping his commandments. And he in you. You'll never be alone. You always have him right there in you. Working with you and strengthening you and helping you through those times. And hereby we know that he. And we have known and believed the love of God. Do you believe that? God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness. As we're told in Hebrews 6, verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, in Psalms. You ever listen to the poem? For we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and fast. Yes, I have an anchor. and which God's people, from the very beginning of time, when they worshiped him, he was behind that veil. He was in the most holy of holies. As we look at this, God wants us to abound in hope. Don't ever let that fade away. I know you may go through some difficult times in your life. We get sidelined. Yes, he is a God of hope. And he can help fill you with joy. We can know, have we followed the master's schematic and diagrams in building our spiritual homes? There are a set of standards that must be followed. Don't kid yourself. Just like the architect here, if he doesn't build that skyscraper according to specification and standards, it's going to fall. And maybe build your hope on the proper, because just assuredly as God created, are you ready for that day? If not, why not? Why not now? Make it the very hour, the very time. Are you willing to commit back unto the Lord and say, Lord, I will follow you. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow you. Won't you take his hand this morning? Walk with him. There's nothing stopping you. Do it. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Be willing to repent of your sin. All men have sinned. That's not a disgrace. Be willing to repent of that and give it up, put it away. Be willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yes, I know. He took on that fleshly form. He walked upon this low and simple land. He gave us this good news, the gospel, the New Testament that we have today. And he gave his life as that ultimate sacrifice on the cross for my sins. And I'm going to put him on in baptism. Just as Jesus gave the physical life, being killed, buried in the grave, and rose again, you too, in likeness, can be buried of your sins, that you may be raised up out of the water, to have those sins washed away, and walk in newness of life. All things are ready here this morning. If you've already done all that, but seriously, how has your faith been? Is it a good, strong, faithful?